And I graduated from Hillside High School in 1953.
Okay.
And I also taught at Hillside High School from 1957 to 1975.
Okay.
I taught French and Spanish at Hillside High School. And when I taught French and Spanish at Hillside High School, it was all black school.
Okay.
And all of the staff was black until one Jewish teacher came there in maybe 1970 when it was integrated.
Okay.
In 1971. And the first white teacher's name was Doris Gordon.
Doris Gordon.
And
okay.
She became one of my dearest friends.
Did she? Okay.
In fact, some of her furniture is stored in my garage now.
Oh, really?
Well, first of all, let me just say that I'm going to tell you first about being a student.
Okay.
When I was a student, it was all black.
Mm-hmm.
It was important for us to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
All the teachers wanted us to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
And so their commitment to teaching was for us to be number one.
Okay.
Therefore, they believed that their teaching was to inspire us to be top students.
Okay.
And everybody in Durham knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, there was not a black student in Durham who didn't know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We knew every community,
mm-hmm.
every student,
okay.
every neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
most of the families we knew in East Durham, North
mm-hmm.
Durham, West Durham, Walltown, East End, every community.
Okay.
We knew everybody who went to every church.
Okay.
So there was the community neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the commitment of the teacher,
mm-hmm.
the church, the community, and the home was so connected
mm-hmm.
that you couldn't fail.
Okay. So then there was a connectedness.
There was a connectedness. There was not the disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
There was family, there was home, there was church, there was community.
Okay.
In fact, our pastor of our church
mm-hmm.
made sure that we went to high school and that we went to college.
Really?
So everybody from our church went to college.
Really?
Everybody. Everybody went to Central because he
okay.
came from South Carolina. He felt that by our living in Durham
mm-hmm.
with an NC North Carolina college,
mm-hmm.
that everybody should get an education.
Mm.
So all of us got a bachelor's.
Wow, that's impressive.
And we were poor.
Okay.
We were all poor.
Mm.
But we knew that we were going to have a college education.
So what I'm hearing you say is that those messages of the expectations of continuing on with your education and how important education was were
that's right.
were messages that were reiterated to you
mm-hmm.
throughout the community.
And even though our parents were made
mm-hmm.
and dry cleaning people
mm-hmm.
and work for the university professors
mm-hmm.
and factory people.
Mm-hmm.
They borrowed money from the bank to educate them.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I'm eating
my okay.
chain.
Right.
And they made sure that we worked during the summer to get
mm-hmm.
our education, our tuition money.
Okay. Can you
so
tell
all of us got that undergraduate
okay.
degrees. And the pastor of our church wanted us to get PhD, but it's interesting that not a one of us got a PhD degree.
Mm.
The first person to get a PhD degree was his daughter.
Really?
And she was in South Carolina.
Okay.
Her name was Harriet Rowland.
Okay.
And when he died, I went to speak at his funeral,
mm-hmm.
which was about 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the congregation that out of all of us, 20 or 30 of us,
mm-hmm.
not a one of us got a PhD, and Harriet,
mm-hmm.
sitting on the front row, was the
mm-hmm.
first one to get that PhD. Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting.
So we all got our undergraduate degree, graduate degrees, and our master's,
mm-hmm.
but she got her PhD.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are encouraging others to get their PhDs.
Mm-hmm.
So what Hillside High School did for us was to prepare us for life.
Okay.
it didn't just prepare us for high school graduation, mm-hmm. it prepared us for life. I did so by the teachers setting examples and being role models for us. Now what happened with the teachers was that it was important for every teacher mm-hmm. to know every child mm-hmm. and every family. So before school started, they visited every home.
Oh, really? Went to the students' homes?
They went to every home.
Oh.
They had 150 kids. They had to visit 150 homes.
Wow. Well, then you didn't have a choice. Everybody knew everybody.
Everybody
then.
Knew everybody.
Oh, that's nice.
Uh-huh.
That's very nice.
They knew if Jean Lucas got out of line, they knew her parents.
Mm.
So all they had to do was pick up the phone.
I know your mama.
Go and visit the family. And so
okay.
We didn't have to misbehave mm-hmm. or fail.
Was that still the case when you were a teacher there?
It followed through even when I was a teacher.
Ah,
I had to do the same thing.
Okay.
I had to go and visit all my students' mm-hmm. homes. Now, what happened was that we just could not allow our children to fail.
Mm.
And they did not. So what happened was Abilla Hayes, who is now the coach, the director, the athletic director at NCCU, mm-hmm. would tell you that I was his teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And that if he was going to drop out of school, he couldn't drop out because I wouldn't let him.
Mm.
He couldn't go to prison because
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't let him.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't be a failure because I
wouldn't
let
him. Mm-hmm.
And that's not what's happening with our children.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like the teachers really had strong connections with the students and really cared.
That's right. Absolutely. Another thing you need to know is that every child had some kind of involvement at the school.
Mm, okay.
You didn't believe in a child not being involved in some extracurricular activity.
Mm, okay.
In addition to your academics, you had an extracurricular activity.
Okay.
We had what was called an activity period.
Hmm, okay. Nobody's told me about this.
An activity period means that in the middle of the school day, you belong to some club.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So it was during the school day?
It was during the school day. So, you might go to Broadcasters Club, okay. Music Club, Drama Club.
French Club, Spanish Club.
Smack up.
Okay.
You belong to some club. You couldn't go to school and not belong to something.
Okay.
Consequently, if you belong to something, you have pride in yourself.
Mm.
Couldn't grow up in life and not belong to something.
Mm.
And every year, I felt that I needed to add something to my vida.
Mm.
1 year, I would be Broadcasters. 1 year I'll be music club,
mm.
1 year I'll be debate club, 1 year. So when you graduated, you had something to show.
Mm. It was stacked.
That's right.
Okay, well, I've heard a lot of people talk about Hillside
mm-hmm.
pride.
Even now, my class of 53,
mm-hmm.
they just got together and had a Valentine's dinner.
Did y'all? That's nice.
Still getting together. I told him, I'm so tired of meeting with y'all. 51 years, they're still getting together.
That's impressive, though.
They
That's
still
really
get
impressive.
Together.
That's more than most colleges do.
That's right.
And certainly
still
more than my high school.
They pick up the phone and call you anytime. They say, hey, you coming to Catamounts for Valentine's dinner? No, I ain't coming to Catamounts to see y'all.
Do you think that there's something special that historically black high schools like Hillside did that's now lost?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. What we've done is we've given away our children.
Mm.
If you would think about it, other cultures don't give away their children.
Mm-hmm.
We gave away our children. We mm-hmm. thought that integration was integrating.
Mm.
And we gave away our children. Integration, we thought, was what it said, that
mm-hmm.
we would integrate with other cultures. You can integrate with other cultures, but you have to keep a handle on your children.
Mm-hmm.
And those children need to know their culture.
Mm-hmm.
our culture is different from another culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to teach that culture. And what that culture means is that the African culture is different from the Chinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from the Japanese. Right. It's different from the Latino. And we need to teach our culture. Mm-hmm. And teach our children to be proud of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
When we grew up in our neighborhood, there was nothing like a Miss Jane or Miss Mabel saying, "I'm going to tell your daddy that you left that porch."
Mm-hmm.
"I'm going to tell your daddy that he told you to come home and sit and get out your lesson, and you're not sitting on that porch doing your lesson." See,
right.
There's something about our culture that we've lost.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't speak to other people's children.
Right.
Whereas in that day, my father required that you speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
My mom died, later took us at 10, but my father required that we respected other people,
mm-hmm.
and they could speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
Not only could they speak to us, but they could beat our wood. And they didn't beat it good. Daddy was sending us back over to Miss Jane. So, you're talking about sparing the rod and spoiling the child?
Mm-hmm.
No, not in our day.
Yeah, well, you can't.
It was no child abuse in our day.
Right.
Mm-mm. There was no child abuse in our day. So I think what happened was we gave away our children.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say it any better
mm-hmm.
than that.
Do you think we gained anything?
Yeah, I think we gained. I think we gained in the fact that we got better supplies and resources.
Okay.
We gained better exposure to what we didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
We gained a greater knowledge of what was out here, but what was out here that we couldn't have, that we needed to have,
mm-hmm.
but we lost
mm-hmm.
in what we gave up when we gave up our children.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want people to think that I'm not for integration.
Right.
But I do want to get our children
back. So what do you think we can do now to better educate black kids?
And I don't want us to go back to saying that we want all our folks to come back to our neighborhood.
Right.
And I don't want to say that we need to have all of our churches back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say that we need to corral, but we probably need to do like the other colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see them always with us.
Right. Right.
So at some point, it just needs to be us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, one last question, because I know your time is limited. When people say to me, "Geraldine, I know that you are talking to people about what it was like to go to Hillside and Hillside's place in the Durham community, what more should I tell them about the legacy or the importance that Hillside has played?"
Hillside was a place that protected, educated, nurtured, prepared, groomed,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to use the word oversaw,
mm-hmm.
the total growth students from, we started at Hillside from 7th to 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time, that's 6 years mm-hmm. at least, mm-hmm. and some were there longer.
Mm-hmm.
And they not only protected the girls, mm-hmm. they educated young men.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, when I buy records, mm-hmm. if you will see my records, I just bought 2 albums of classical records.
Okay.
And I was taught that at Hillside.
Mm.
How many people do you know who listen to classical music that they were taught at Hillside mm-hmm. High School? Because each assembly was started with a classical introduction on the organ.
I didn't know that.
John Gaddis started the assembly.
Mr. Gaddis. Okay.
With the classical okay. introduction.
Okay.
And he taught us that that prelude meant for us to become silent.
Mm.
So we know now that at church, when you hear prelude, you get quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear the prelude, I know to shut my mouth. And I know that when an artist gets up off the stool, it's when I applaud.
Mm-hmm.
Because Prof. Austin taught us, don't start clapping to the person if you don't know when to clap.
Right.
Wait until they get up off the stool. That's when the movement is over.
Right.
It was summertime. They taught us well.
It sounds like it.
I can't begin to tell you what Hillside did. They taught us how to eat properly. If you hear my diction,
mm-hmm.
I learned that at Hillside. Mm. Now, everybody didn't learn at the same level,
right?
But it's because they didn't want to learn at the same
mm-hmm.
level. I just learned it.
Mm-hmm.
My mama didn't know how to put it with is,
mm-hmm.
but I learned how to speak well
mm-hmm.
at Hillside.
And look at you now.
And look at me.
And so many others of you.
Well, Hillside was unusual. Give me a pen. The reason I got one of these gloves.
This is an interview with Senator Jeanne Lucas in Raleigh, North Carolina. It is April 15th, 2005, and we're in the North Carolina State Legislature building. The interviewer is Geralyn Patterson, and this is part of the Spencer Grants Project on School Desegregation in the South, and will be used as part of the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The tape number is 415-05-JL.